Did the early church teach Scripture alone, or was this a new teaching by the Lutheran Reformers? Find out in Pastor Will Wheaton's column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jake Domick recounts how he found the comfort of the Lutheran Confession during a military deployment to Afghanistan. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. It is always necessary for the church to confess. When that confession is met with, well, open arms, we still confess. When that confession is rejected by the world and even by our fellow Christians, we still confess. The 16th century reformers understood this. They also understood that they were writing not only for their time, their part in history, but for posterity, and ultimately, they say, in view of the judgment of Christ himself. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to talk about making the bold confession, past and present. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, joins us. He's author of several books, including Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? And a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled An Eternal Confession. Matt, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. It's always a pleasure.
If confessional Lutherans, and they do, believe that Scripture is the very Word of God, it's the only source in Norma theology, why do they also subscribe to confessional documents in the Book of Concord?
Well, we believe that God's word is his word to us, which demands a response. So Jesus says to his disciples, "But you, who do you say that I am?" And Peter answers for all of them, "But thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that is a response of believers to the word confessed. So otherwise, we could say, yes, what do you believe? Well, I believe what the Bible believes. I could say that as a Roman Catholic. If I said, what do you believe, Mormons? Well, nothing I believe contradicts the Bible. I believe what the Bible believes. Or what do you believe, Presbyterians? Well, I believe what the Bible says. So you see where it gets you. There are all very significant differences between those denominations. It's about how you actually understand the Bible. And so the Lutheran confessions are simply a statement, a true exposition, a true statement of what the Bible teaches on the main things. And we are most familiar with that as Lutherans in the Small Catechism.
So we're going to talk about the Book of Concord. What is it? How would you describe it?
It's a collection of important confessions given at important moments in the life of the church. It includes the so-called ecumenical creeds, the Athanasian Creed, the longest, the Nicene Creed, and then the earliest is the Apostles' Creed. The Lutheran Church wishes to state that it is Catholic, small c. It accepts the decisions of the ancient church that Jesus is God in the flesh. And then we have the Augsburg Confession, which was a Lutheran confession at Augsburg, 1530. We have its apology, 1531, which is a defense of that confession. It's really kind of the culminating moment of Luther's lifetime, standing before the emperor and the estates and states, confessing what the truth of the scriptures and the gospel was. We have the small called Articles, 1537. We have the small and the large catechisms of Martin Luther, which state the faith very simply for children and also common people and for adults. And those two books are the most widely used. And by the way, we're coming out with CPH and the Commission on Theology of the Missouri Synod with an annotated large catechism very soon. It's all but wrapped up. That'll be a wonderful tool. And then also, after Luther's death, there was a lot of dissension in the church, and the Lutherans kind of fell apart, and the Formula of Concord, in its shorter summary, and the Solid Declaration, a longer version of that, commented on those points of teaching that there had been controversies about, and that brought about a tremendous amount of unity especially in Lutheran church, for a long time.
Luther himself was aware that people were trying to distort his teaching, and that after he would pass away, people would continue to try and distort his teaching. Tell us about that.
He was well aware of this, and he was most aware of it because during his lifetime, there were really no real copyright laws. So he would write books about the Lord's Supper, and somebody had published them in South Germany and say that Luther didn't, in fact, believe in the bodily presence of Christ in the sacrament, or publish other erroneous views under his name. And of course, that really ticked him off, as it would, no doubt. But so he had no doubt about what would happen after he died. People would twist his words and say that he said this or that. And so he wished, at a couple of instances in his life, late in his life too, to leave a confession. And in doing so, he'd say things like, "I am not drunk. I know what I say. After my time, people will come and distort my words. If they can so distort Christ's words, what will they do with my words?" And he then went on to state, "This is exactly what I believe," and did it so with great clarity as a last will and testament. I think it's a great model we should all follow.
For their part, the other authors of the Lutheran Confessions, especially those who wrote post-Luther, after Luther's death, they understood that they were writing for posterity and in view of the final judgment. How did they express that, Matt?
Yeah, Luther had this big kind of eschatological view of confession as well, and he expressed it at the end of the passage I just kind of quoted from memory. But they said at the end of the Book of Concord, "In the sight of God and of all Christendom, the entire Church of Christ, we want to testify to those now living and those who will come after us. This declaration presented here about all the controverted articles mentioned and explained above, and no other, is our faith, doctrine, and confession. By God's grace, with intrepid hearts, we are willing to appear before the judgment seat of Christ with this confession and give an account. We will not speak or write anything contrary to this confession, either publicly or privately, etc. And we intend by God's grace to hold to it." You know, I like genealogy, and it's such a wonderful thing to find statements of belief or indications of Christian belief among ancestors. How magnificent this text is, and knowing my children will know and grandchildren will know that I subscribe to the Book of Concord, fully knowing this passage and confessing it with my whole heart. I will stand in front of Christ with what I believe, teach, and confess based on the Bible.
Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. We're talking about making the bold confession. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Faith Lutheran Church and School in Plano, Texas preaches Christ crucified. Join us each Lord's Day to hear law and gospel preaching and to receive the Lord's Supper. Our classical preschool through grade 12 Lutheran school is second to none. The school serves home educators, too, with online classes in the high school. We are located at 1701 East Park Boulevard in Plano, Texas. Reach us by phone at 972-423-7448 or on the web at www.flsplano.org.
Have you ever been overwhelmed by everything that's in the Book of Concord, all the names and documents and the historical context? Well, in 2006, Concordia Publishing House, through the work of the Reverend Paul McCain, published the Reader's Edition of the Book of Concord, a fantastic guide for anyone interested in digging more into Lutheran theology. The Lutheran Witness for the October issue is all about helping you get into this resource. To pick up your copy, visit cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor: Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario; Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California; Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin; Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri; Mount Calvary Lutheran, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania; Peace Lutheran, Hastings, Nebraska; Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado; St. John Lutheran, Strongsville, Ohio; St. Peter Lutheran, Arlington, Wisconsin; and University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The latest Issues Etc. journal is out. Pastor Will Whedon has written an excellent article for us, mining the depths of the question, where is this written, especially in the early church fathers? It turns out that the Lutherans weren't the first one to ask questions about sola scriptura. There's also the Wittenberg Trail feature, From Battlefield to Christ's Altar, My Journey to Confessional Lutheranism. It's all in the latest Issues Etc. journal, and you can read it for free. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the red subscription button, enter your email address, and we'll send you the Issues Etc. journal. Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. We're talking about making the bold confession. Matt, what's the difference between saying, I subscribe to the Lutheran confessions insofar as they agree with Scripture, and I subscribe to the Lutheran confessions because they agree with Scripture?
Well, the problem is you can subscribe to the Quran insofar as it agrees with Scripture. You're really leaving the determination of truth to your own individual conscience. Now, you can certainly do that. It's a free world. You just can't claim to be a Lutheran and do that. So take the basic teachings. The law condemns all people, and all people deserve condemnation. This is a teaching all over the New Testament, for instance. The law is given that every mouth be stopped and the whole world held accountable to God. Our Lutheran confessions teach that very clearly, but if I say, no, I really don't think the Bible teaches a hell, I don't find it in the Bible, therefore I'm not going to believe it, even if it's presented in our confessions. Well, that obviously is a problem. The ethical thing that we do, and the serious thing we do based on our eschatological views, that is, we stand before God now and we will stand before him in eternity with our confession, is we demand a confession now. Do you know this Book of Concord? Have you read the Scriptures? Do you find this Book of Concord to teach what the Scriptures teach? And a candidate has to answer yes or no.
I have heard fellow Lutherans from time to time say something to the effect of, you know, Luther, when he was still alive, his theology was lively, and they tend to prefer Luther to the latter stuff in the Book of Concord, which they claim is kind of ossified and wooden. How would you respond to that?
They not only prefer Luther, they actually prefer the early Luther. In fact, in a very famous article that was supremely misleading by Richard Kemmerer in 1944 or 45, of the Melanchthon Blight, he says right out that by 1525, Luther really came up with nothing new and it all became ossified. Well, what comes after 1525? The Augsburg Confession, which Luther says was his own, the Apology. Oh, for that matter, the Small Catechism and the Large Catechism come after 1525. In fact, what people want to do is use earlier documents in a tricky way to deny what they actually say, particularly about the Lord's Supper. Unfortunately, Philip Melanchthon was involved in this kind of deception himself, which caused such a huge problem. But those who want to reject Luther reject the so-called old Luther, and that's the Luther that led to the Formula of Concord and the period of Lutheran Orthodoxy and other nasty things like C.F.W. Walther and the Missouri Synod.
So how would you respond to someone who says that Chemnitz and the other authors, in particular the Formula of Concord, departed from Luther's theology?
Not at all. Most of them were students of Melanchthon and had some experience with Luther. Certainly Chemnitz did for a brief time, although not in theology. But they knew Luther's theology, read it diligently, and they planted his theology into each of the articles, say, on original sin, on so-called free will, on the bound will, on what the nature of the gospel is, whether the gospel is the imputation of righteousness, that is, Christ's robe of righteousness put on me and me declared righteous for that, or whether this righteousness of Christ is something fundamentally which dwells inside of me and changes me into a better person, and therefore I become righteous, which was really the old Catholic Augustinian view. So the authors knew all those issues. They knew Luther's writings. They quote Luther constantly, and they use, in some ways, Philip's method, but they're absolutely committed to Luther's true biblical teaching on these fundamental articles. And there are not that many of them. You know, Ten Commandments, Creed, Lord's Prayer, Baptism, Absolution, Supper, and the doctrines that kind of circle around those.
I've heard you say before that the bold confession, the time to boldly confess what we find in Scripture in the confessions, is especially needed today. Why is that?
I think it's very easy for us Christians to retreat in the face of opposition. It just gets tiring to hear what we hear, and it's so depressing. There's mostly depressing news about Christianity on TV. We just got this week another announcement about terrible sexual scandals in the Roman Catholic Church in France, and that's a great embarrassment to the church, and it fires those who don't like anything to do with Christianity and discount all Christians as somehow unhelpful or detrimental to society. It's so easy to retreat and feel depressed, but we are really living in a time that is normal in the life of the church. That is, was normal before Constantine gave clergy tax breaks about 325 AD. So after that time, the state protected the church, and unfortunately, through the Middle Ages, state and church become very much balled up with each other and impede each other, and to all kinds of detriment to both institutions. We're now returning to really that pre-Constantinian time where Christianity and the church enjoy some favor from time to time, but that can turn on a dime. We enjoy a lack of favor in broad stretches of culture today, but be it as it may, we have a task. We confess Christ.
Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. We're talking about making the bold confession. He's also written recently about a mutual friend and issues, etc., regular guest, the sainted Pastor Paul McCain. We'll talk about him a little bit after this. Did the early church teach Scripture alone, or was this a new teaching by the Lutheran Reformers? Find out in Pastor Will Wheaton's column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jake Domick recounts how he found the comfort of the Lutheran Confession during a military deployment to Afghanistan. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. Simplyclassical.com.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world?
India.
Sweden.
Egypt.
France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore.
Bulgaria.
Korea.
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines,
Mexico,
Spain,
New Zealand,
Kuwait.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific. At issuesetc.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about making the bold confession. So, Matt, you have also recently written about our mutual friend and Issues Etc. regular guest, the sainted Pastor Paul McCain. Tell us about him.
Paul was a very unique individual, extremely gifted and very articulate, as your listeners know from the many times he appeared on this show to talk particularly about the Book of Concord. He was a delightful font of information and knowledge. I met him in seminary probably about 1984. Four or so, and we became good friends through mutual interest in confessional Lutheran theology, the Book of Concord, and Hermann Sasse, and C.F.W. Walther, and all things that have to do with it. And Paul wanted to be a pastor above all, and he took his call to his first congregation and a little place called Artesian, Iowa. It was a congregation that couldn't have had more than 100 people, I don't suspect. They received him kindly. He had no experience on the farm whatsoever, and so he would often entertain them by his ignorance, but he jumped in, baled hay. One time he asked one of the farmers about his harvest store silo, the big blue silos to store grain and silage for cattle feed, and Paul asked, "Is that where you keep your milk?" So a dairy farmer
would use a harvester silo to keep his milk. And of course, these stories got around the congregation and made him fonder to them even than he was. He was suddenly called in 1992 to assist President Barry in his newly elected position as president of the church body. Dr. Barry had come from Iowa East. That's where Paul and I were both serving. And so Paul, after a short time in the parish, traversed to St. Louis and spent the time serving Dr. Barry until he died. That service was very difficult. Dr. Barry was enormously unpopular in certain segments of the magisterium of the Missouri Synod. And Paul bore a very, very heavy burden. And nevertheless, he helped Dr. Barry, who was a kind, generous, gentle man. He helped Dr. Barry to really sharpen his theological thought and deepen and strengthen it for the challenges of the day. Dr. Barry died tragically, and he was followed by the first vice president, Dr. Kuhn. And then Paul went off to, at that point, after President Kieschnick was elected, Paul became the interim president for Concordia Historical Institute, and then after at Concordia Publishing House. And he was interim there for several years, and he really found his niche because he had this great understanding of what your average people and your average pastor wanted in the way of books. And CPH, under the leadership financially of Bruce Kintz, who brought the house around in amazing fashion financially, the house entrusted Paul McCain with the tasks of the chief publishing plan and what kind of materials needed to come out. And so they just ended up publishing an absolute plethora of new volumes, the Reader's Edition of the Book of Concord, the Lutheran Study Bible, numerous prayer books, all kinds of different works by important theologians, tracts and pamphlets on difficult issues and commentaries, the 20-volume extension to Luther's works, and all of that in large measure due to Paul, but certainly supported by the leadership there and by the board, are still going on. So his legacy there is quite remarkable.
When Paul served with Dr. Barry, as you mentioned, he was, you know, in effect, right there during those tumultuous times in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Did Paul ever offer you, when you took the office once occupied by Dr. Barry, did he ever offer you insights into the office into which you were now called?
Well, yes, daily. It was, for Dr. Barry, a very lonely walk and a very challenging one, sort of being on the outs, having come in from outside the sort of leadership of the organization, as it were, not being kind of a favorite. And the only desire Paul had was to see that the church that publicly confessed the Book of Concord actually lived the Book of Concord, lived this vibrant faith of the Small Catechism, lived the great biblical truth of justification by grace through faith as the primary teaching, that its schools taught these truths, lived from the catechisms, that our missions lived, planted churches according to these truths, shared the gospel with people, free forgiveness, and led them to baptism, trained pastors, and cared for lay people in the manifold ways. So when there were obstacles in the way of those things, ironically put up sometimes by some of us, that hurt very badly. But Paul certainly was not discouraged. There were moments where he was quite discouraged, and it's quite nerve-wracking having the position, but ultimately, he was a man of faith. Now he's a man of sight. But he was a man of faith, just like Dr. Barry. And the challenges one faces are just a passing, fleeting aspect of this life. And we move forward, keeping our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our life, going with him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. And we do this with a cheerful heart and cheerful conscience in the face of all struggles.
You also preached Paul's funeral sermon. What did you say?
I suppose much of the same things I'm telling you here, although I did call him a bombastic introvert and stick by that. For one reason, he was so incredibly productive. It was not only that he was smart, very sharp, but he did not spend a lot of time socializing. That was not his forte, not his desire. So he used his time to enjoy his family. He worked hard, and he also enjoyed shooting and some other things along the way that brought him great joy and release from the challenges he faced. But his favorite verse was Galatians 3:20, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God," which was the verse that Martin Chemnitz, Paul's hero, who was the main author of the Book of Concord, particularly the Formula of Concord, was his favorite verse as well. And Paul treasured that above anything.
You had mentioned what I consider to be his most lasting contribution to the church, and that is the publication of the Reader's Edition of the Lutheran Confessions. Why is the publication of that book so important today?
It is profoundly important that our people know the Book of Concord, or know the bits of it that are the fundamental confession of our faith in its simpler form, but also have access to the fuller form. You know, the Roman Catholic Church encompasses all kinds of different viewpoints and sects and orders, but if they all recognize the authority of the Pope, so sort of the authority of the Pope and the structure are the sort of main thing about the Catholic Church. Eastern Orthodoxy, they have a very distinct and old liturgy and view of the ecumenical councils that kind of defines them. Baptist churches, and I hesitate to speak for them, but for the most part, they reject creeds and they want to say only the Bible is going to determine what we believe, but we're known for not having a particular confession. So there might be ways of organizing the church. The Anglican Church says that the church must be ordered in a certain fashion. The Lutheran Church does not make laws about any of that stuff, except maybe how the Bible is viewed, but doesn't make laws about any of that stuff. The Lutheran Church has a confession around which we gather, and that is a confession that confesses the forgiveness of sins, the free forgiveness of sins, won by Christ on his cross, in fact, won by his whole life, won by his cross, death, and resurrection, and delivered freely in the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Confession. Lutheran Church gathers itself around a confession above all. And the clarity of that confession is crystal clear in our Book of Concord, particularly the Small Catechism. And so the more our people actually know this confession, the more they are equipped for a Christian life of steadfastness in the face of challenges, a Christian life of love, Christian life of meaningfulness, knowing the divine vocations they are in and how sacred they are. You can learn that from the Table of Duties at the end of Luther's Catechism or many other places. You can learn what the church is, the saints gathered around Christ and his means of grace. You know clearly what a pastor is. You know where to have your sins forgiven. Confession and absolution, baptism, Lord's Supper, mutual conversation and consolation of the brethren, says Luther in our confessions, is a place where the gospel is delivered. That means when you have friends and you speak Christ to them and his forgiveness, it forgives. So it couldn't be more important for individual Christians to know it and love it. That's why I loved it so much. It's got pictures in it too.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of several books, including Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? And a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled An Eternal Confession. The Lutheran Witness is available in print and online. An annual subscription is less than $20. Learn more at lcms.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Interpreting the World from a Lutheran Perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine, lcms.org/witness or 1-800-325-3040. Matt, thank you very much.
Thank you.
In Hour 2 of Issues Etc. on this Thursday, October the 7th, we'll be answering your unanswered Bible questions. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller and Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be in studio to take those questions. 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or leave your questions for our Pastor's Roundtable at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as his baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Unshaken from Psalm 16:8 is the theme for the 44th academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and encouraging spiritual growth. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the support page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music. Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.